George, have you actually looked at the numbers? The UK is one of the least racist societies actually across Europe.
Oh, phew! Thank you so much! So I didn't get stopped by police sitting outside of my mum's house earlier this year. That didn't happen to me. Oh, thank you. I should have just explained that to the police officers.
But they're talking about ending preferential treatment for Europeans so we can take people from Singapore and Malaysia and Thailand to come in.
Oh, phew.
That's an open policy.
All right, I've got the woman waving there, and then I'm going to take two more points, then we'll go to another question. Yes.
It's funny that you're a white man saying that. You're a white man saying that there's no racism in this country. How are you going to experience it? You're a white man. Right. You're saying that British people are the least racist. Hold on. How am I racist? You're not the one walking down the street and being screamed at. That's not happening to you. You're not a young black man walking across the street being stopped by the police. Don't tell me to calm down. I don't need to calm down because you're not experiencing that. And that's why you
was a second in that video clip of the immigrant shouting at that young lad. You can see it on the lad's face. He's face to face with a rational hatred. The situation is totally absurd. Two people have imposed themselves on his people in their own land and are now claiming to be the victims of the people who they've imposed themselves on. And the young lad's reaction is essentially, what the fuck is this? These people are scum, but I'll smile along and look incredulous and hope for the best. Because he cannot say anything because he'll be called a racist and have his life destroyed. But let's just dissect George the Poet's argument for a second. George is an immigrant from Uganda who says he's a spoken word artist. That's really just saying he's too thick to write real poetry. What he's doing instead is shouting about being a victim and then having lefty outlets waft him up into their own circles. They'll pretend he's a sort of Nelson Mandela type figure. They'll wash his feet and comb his beard through as he retells his tales of ghetto war, and the lefties will cry and weep at the injustice of it all. Because George is the politically correct victim in a way that a 13-year-old white girl from Rochdale isn't. People with names like Ignatieff, Cohen, Isaac and Horowitz crafted George's victim narrative for him. They'll have an IQ of 120 to 130. George has an IQ in the, I'd say, 80 to 90 range. George carries their ideas. He's their puppet. And as their puppet, George gets to sit on the panel in the BBC's flagship current affairs programme and sneer and jeer at white men who sit powerless in the audience. And while he does it, he'll play the role of victim. That's why the white lad in the audience just looks incredulous. He isn't being confronted with a different set of ideas. He's facing a machine, a pre-programmed attack drone, which just sort of spouting off the ideas of a third group, mindlessly, without even understanding what it is he's saying. It's just like a little parrot on a string. But the point that he put to George was that Britain isn't actually that racist, and the non-whites and liberals in the audience pounced all over it. But what is the argument here, really? Let us assume that Britain is every bit as racist as these non-whites say it is, George and the Muslima. Let us concede their point. What does that actually mean? What does that tell us? If everybody in Britain, or a vast amount of people in Britain, are racist, what does it mean if we strip away the sort of psychological baggage of the word? Well, it means people like George and the Muslima just aren't wanted. It means the white British people just don't want them here. and their response to not being wanted is to express anger toward the people who don't want them. And on top of that, they also claim to be persecuted and bullied by the people who don't want them. And they're angry about that as well. The obvious question to be asked here is, why don't they leave? Why don't they just fuck off? And the answer to that question is that they don't have to, because the people who don't want them here have no power of influence. It's similar to the flaw in white privilege theory. If white privilege theory actually existed, then we wouldn't have multicultural societies to begin with, because racial thinking would dominate policy and demographic forecasts of Western nations, because our interests would be at the forefront of everything that happened in the society, if white privilege was true. It's obviously not the case. But people like George the poet, and Stormzy, and he's another twat peddling the same pig's wool. Well, they don't have to concern themselves with truth and logic like this, because their rules as pawns gets them lots of gives me that. The slave morality of cultural Marxism allows them to own the natives in debates, because it is expected of the natives to bow down and grovel before their victimhood narrative. The greater your victim points are, the holier and more sanctified you are. It's a secular religion. Watching their narrative become more and more hysterical is like watching these non-whites further and further out onto thin ice, though. Because if life is here is so dreadful, why don't you just go? But you can't, but there's but that would not be slave morality. But essentially, they've made all the arguments for us. But more importantly, it begs another question. What happens to slave morality when the master returns? What happens when the contortions become too complicated and tiresome, and the whinging minority groups are simply told, we don't care, just leave? That's when the ice breaks underneath them. That is the end of slave morality. See you later, folks.